Welcome to the Continuous Delivery Podcast. My name is Chaba.
I'm Zarar.
I'm Cheesy.
And I'm Hino.
And we are going to talk about code reviews. What do you guys think when somebody mentions code review?
I'm guessing there's a PR out there which needs to be reviewed, and the waiting game has begun. The other person will get to it at some point, and by the time they get to it, they'll be exhausted from all the other work they've been doing, and they'll pay very little attention to the details of this merge request, and probably approve it without the quality necessarily being improved. That's the good case. The worst case is they'll just hit approve so they can go on and move on with their lives and on to the next task.
Yeah, so for me, there are a couple of problems that I have with this whole pull request review, code review process. One of them is that it tends to cause people to wait until they finish something before they integrate their code, which if your stories are small, that still could continue to be a problem. So number two, it tends to cause people not to necessarily want to refactor as much as they should. I've seen cases where code was checked in, it was a little bit messy. People ask, well, why didn't you refactor it? Well, I had to integrate it. I had to, and I didn't want the pull request to be too large, complex. Number three, if people are all busy and they don't get reviewed, that means that there's a lot of rebasing or a lot of extra grunt work that's necessary just to get it done. And I also find that the final piece to this is, which is the learning that happens whenever we get feedback from others. If we do it at the very end, often that learning doesn't get incorporated, or if it does, the learning is not as profound as opposed to something like pairing, mobbing, or whatever it might be. Now I've heard people say, though, that we can't trust everybody on the team, and so this is a way that we make sure that we review the code before it's merged. And I personally think that there are better ways to do that, pairing or mobbing, or if you have somebody who's new to the team that you're not sure what quality they'll produce, again, have them pair with others until they get up to speed, et cetera. It might be a much better approach. And I'll just leave it at that for right now.
Does a pull request have to be associated with a code review?
The problem kind of is, if you don't have a code review, why would you have a pull request? So one problem actually introduces the other one as well. If you would not want an extra pair of eyes on the code separately, completely asynchronous, so you write your code and somebody else will look at it after the fact. If you don't want that, why would you need a pull request in the first place? You might just integrate your code right in the main branch or in the trunk. So I think they're very connected because you can't do one without the other, right? Just the same as QA at the end or quality engineering at the end of the basically of your development work, it sets the expectation that somebody else will look at it. So it doesn't necessarily matter that it's 100% correct, because if there's still a bug in it, somebody else will catch it, right? So that expectation you set with a code review as well.
But usually when we talk about code reviews, squads or teams are trying to have a solution for something. What are they trying to solve by using code reviews?
I think there's always a variety of skill levels on the team. And sometimes we don't always have the same amount of senior developers that may be on the team. And the team has a general desire to maintain a certain level of quality. And the presumption is that having a peer review process in there ups the overall level of quality. I think code reviews, of course, can exist without PRs, because as you are writing your code by pairing with somebody, you're actually reviewing the code right then and there. And the same type of feedback that you are giving during pairing, you can also give at pull request time. Upskilling your team members is definitely one aspect of things. And second is just raising the overall quality of the code base, that whatever quality metric you have agreed to, or whatever design you have agreed to, people are adhering to that. So I think it's a twofold answer. One is related to maintaining a consistent design, and the second is also making sure developers are improving by getting constant feedback at their code reviews. I obviously have a preference for pairing every time. 10 out of 10 times, I'll go with a pair. But if in a situation you are working on a team where PRs are the norm, I do think PRs are really a very, very good way to actually communicate a lot of learning to the other party. One thing that I directly observed is that the reviewer has a tremendous opportunity to coach the other person while learning something themselves. And one tactic that I've seen used effectively is whenever you see a piece of code that's in front of you, instead of saying, this is wrong, do it that way, you start asking questions about why the other person did this. Or more specifically, you can ask questions to the other person about what the implications of their design are. And you can really get the other person to think while also formulating your own thinking through this back and forth. It's not ideal that it's asynchronous, but the fact that it's documented and the fact that the other person has to actually take some time to think about it, there are some positives of doing it asynchronously as well. So I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater and say always do pairing, even though that's my strong preference. I just want to give my counterpoint some more beef by saying that there are benefits of doing it asynchronously, mainly because the other person has some time to actually internalize and think.
I haven't seen many code reviews that are asynchronous, at least the way that we're describing them, for a variety of reasons. One that you mentioned already, that is, hey, I've got something else going on. This is just a necessary hoop that we have to jump through. Let's get it over and done with as fast as we possibly can. I do not necessarily have the time to sit down, look through all the code, ask questions to the person who actually asked, who actually wrote the code, and then give that feedback. And indeed, if it would happen that way, it would be very valuable, but it would also take twice as long.
Oftentimes when I'm reviewing code, I think I learn as much about what's happening than the other party. And this is a mindset question, I guess, because I'm entering that process with an open mind, not a mindset where I am looking to correct what's been done, but I'm looking to actually challenge my own thinking.
Even though this might be a good goal to have during pull requests, the whole pull request process, the negatives to it far exceed whatever benefit you might be able to get from there. And by that, I mean the negatives of waiting until you've finished something, especially if that thing is a day's worth of work, or heaven forbid, even more than a day's worth of work before integrating it, just adds substantial risk to the team. And basically it means that for that period of time, the code base that you're working on, unless if you're continuously rebasing it, and unless of continuously all of the other developers are committing fairly frequently, the code base that you're working on is divergent from reality. You know, so in order to drive risk down, checking in your code much more frequently, having everybody on the team doing that and everybody continuously rebasing is the only way to drive that risk down. Now of course, there is this need to make sure that we adhere the quality, but if we want to do that, then there's no better way to make sure that we do that than to try to introduce practices that help us learn or discover quickly that the quality is going down. Again, continuously committing, continuously pushing, continuously rebasing, but not just rebasing, but look at those changes that are coming in so that you can discover much faster that, or much sooner that there is an issue with the code base.
The problem with a code review at the end is it becomes a gate more than an intrinsic process of development. One way you can sort of circumvent that is to obviously always make small PRs. If you are actually making small PRs, you automatically reduce the amount of time you get feedback from the other party in, but you also make the other party a little bit more excited about doing the review rather than a chore, because they know they're going to be reviewing a very small piece of functionality. Now, the other side effect of having PRs is that you're always reviewing just a particular section of the functionality. You're not always paying attention to the larger design. And to me, that is a fundamental advantage of pairing, because as soon as you create a PR, you've automatically sort of scoped the discussion to that PR, those three files and, you know, those 20 lines changed. But if you're pairing, you actually are uncovering more opportunities. You're finding more issues with the code base, which you can address immediately. It's that conversation that is being foregone because of the asynchronous nature.
I mean, if you are submitting a PR and then a couple of hours later, or maybe the day afterwards, you get feedback on that PR, and you are waiting to get that PR actually integrated in the main branch, are you going to challenge any of the feedback that you got? No, what you oftentimes, kind of depends on who you are, of course, but what you oftentimes will do is you will take it and say, like, okay, maybe if I would have had this feedback right when I was coding, I might go into a very interesting dialogue with the person who's reviewing my changes to basically understand where that decision comes from, why we're doing it this way, why not another thing, what are the other two or three options that we considered as well. None of that is happening. All that context is entirely lost. And instead of doing that, you just say, okay, well, clearly this person didn't think about all the other things that I thought about, but I'm going to accept it anyways, because otherwise it takes another 3 days before my code gets into production.
Let's assume that we live in this world of pull requests, because this is just the reality in many organizations. How can we make the best of this?
So the first thing that I would request is to disassociate the concept of a pull request with a user story, because so many organizations, user stories tend to be fairly large, and that means that your pull requests by their very nature will also be large. So I would start by saying that if we're stuck with pull requests, let's at least make them not equivalent to completion of the user story. And I think with that, we could start to get our pull requests down to a smaller size.
I would suggest something which I call, just because there is no real name for it, but which I call a code review plus. And the only thing that really is getting a little bit closer to the experience that you get when you do pair programming. And it is do the code review with the person who wrote the code in the room or at the same keyboard or online in a world where you're working remotely. So basically provide the feedback, ask the questions right there, right then, and then slowly you can move towards a situation where you do pairing more regularly.
I think the mindset entering that process from a reviewer standpoint has to be one of trust. If the person who is having their code reviewed actually learned something from the process, they are more likely to seek feedback more frequently and be more excited about it. So then the question becomes, how do we actually build that environment where it's not just a gate, it's actually a learning process? And it really, I've thought about this a little bit, and it really comes down to the reviewer just asking good questions and really forcing the other party to think what the implications of their design decisions are. And as long as we maintain that healthy dialogue through questions, I think that that works well. The one thing that we should be cautious of, and I think completely avoid, is to agree to a change only because the more senior person says so.
For me, the whole idea of pull requests is a complete misunderstanding of the way Git was originally designed in the first place, where it offers a high trust, low trust pattern. And pull requests is that low trust pattern. And I just don't think we need to have low trust inside of a team. So again, if you have pull requests, if you're living in that world, ask yourself, what are the risks? Ask yourselves, what can we do to integrate more frequently? If we're forced to do it this way because of some company policy, then ask, how can we do it more frequently with much, much, much smaller changes?
Usually these practices stem from the desire to have a better quality code, that have a better quality code base in general, just to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to grow. Code reviews are probably not the best tools to do that. How can development teams help themselves to have a better quality code to have an opportunity for these developers to grow, including, and when we talk about growing, we're not only talking about the junior developers, talk about the entire team.
So what if we, on a regular basis, let's say an afternoon or a couple of hours a week, we just pick one area of the code that is changing regularly and we look at it together with the entire team and see if we need to do any necessary refactoring and do this as a mob. There you learn to have those dialogues. You learn how to make those decisions about code. You also come to a common understanding of what a style is that works for the entire team. And at the same time, you're reviewing code that has been written in the past, right? So all of those benefits you get from this while not slowing yourself down or while still allowing people to make individual contributions and possibly also mistakes.
I find one of the best tools for helping teams grow is mob programming, because in doing this, everybody gets to share their ideas, their knowledge, their learning, and collaborate together. And so if it were up to me, that's how I would approach it. If you're not familiar with mobbing, I would suggest take a look at some of the videos that are out there. In the days of COVID, it's actually easier than ever, to be quite honest, because we're all remote anyway. So it just takes somebody sharing a screen, and we can do this. Pairing is another technique that we've talked about, which works, although the knowledge doesn't spread across a team as rapidly as it does in mobbing. This is the best way to help a team mature and to grow rapidly.
One of the ways you can improve the overall health of your code base is if at the start of a particular task, we spend a little bit of time on technical design. I think we sometimes have a tendency when we get a new user story, pick it up from the backlog, we immediately jump into it and start writing code or start writing tests for that code, which is good. But if you really want to get a more holistic understanding of the implications of your design, and I've said that like three times on this podcast, is we really have to step back and say, at this point, at the start of the user story, what are the major modules we are touching? What classes are we going to change? What is being impacted by our changes? Who do we need to notify? And those kind of discussion. Maybe draw out a couple of diagrams and figure out just how this code will be structured and have a discussion around that. Time box that discussion to maybe 15 minutes or so, just so that people at the start of it have a shared understanding, because that those 15 minutes at the start will probably save you a lot of back and forth when you are actually developing, or in the case where you're relying on PRs, you're going back and forth on the PR. So I'd say spend a little bit more time on technical design and make it part of your norms. Your team norm should have, when we start a new story, we all mob together and talk about the technical design of something. And then if you choose to go and do mob programming, awesome. If not, at least you enter this piece of work with a shared understanding of how the design is impacted.
What would you guys want to leave a team who are in the midst of pull requests, in the midst of code reviews, in the midst of frustration? What this team should do? What would be the next step to get to that point where you guys described?
Well, basically, it's the same thing for anything, right? For continuous improvement, a pull request and code reviews are a part of a process. You want to challenge yourself if that process is absolutely required, and what can we do in order to make it lighter?
One thing that we didn't touch on, which kind of goes hand in hand with this, since we're talking about source code management practices, are if you are on branches, the first step is to get rid of the branches, to go down to trunk-based development. Even if you are using PRs, still have your PRs there. And then the next step is to start to really reduce the size of the PRs. And then eventually, hopefully, the team builds enough trust and enough confidence or enough belief in the practices that they have around testing, around quality, around pairing and mobbing, that they can say that we have a high trust team now. So we no longer have a need for pull requests.
I'd say do a fist of five at the end of a code review or some equivalent of that, where the people actually get together and do a retro on the code review and ask the question, did the design improve? Did we learn something? What do we do differently on a similar code review or in code reviews in general? What did we learn in this code review that can feed into our team norms?
And this concludes our Continuous Delivery podcast.